I don't know if one of you will give me the right answer. What time is it? Sister Gloria, you got very close to what I was expecting. Time to worship. Yes. What time is it? Time to worship. And when we say time to worship, many times we set in our minds like, oh, it's 9 o'clock, 9:30, it's 10 o'clock. We usually, when we think about what time is it, we think about this. And we are controlled sometimes for this little fellow in your pulse. You're controlled by that. But you don't realize that the time to worship is every single minute that I am alive.
Amen.
So don't get confused as we speak about worship today that we constrained worship only when we come to church from 9:30 until, God knows, 12:30 or so. So I want you to have this concept as we start, okay? Honor the Lord for the glory of His name. Worship the Lord. We live in a day in a society that worships a lot of things, right? We even have programs on television, the American Idol. And you go to the Philippines, there, the Philippines Idol. And you go to any other country, Brazilian Idol, Mexico Idol, everybody got an idol. We even have a program on television also that for many seasons, I think 50-some seasons, the people that are saved are those that find an idol. Do you know what I'm talking about? They have this title, Survivor. And the whole emphasis in the program, as long as you have an idol, you're still alive. Isn't that exactly what our society is telling us for centuries and centuries? That if we grab something, and that something will keep us alive. That is a lie, because there is only one who can keep us alive. Is the giver of life. So the title that we chose for this week, for this Sabbath, Time to Worship. Worship. What is worship? Who or what do we worship? All of us worship something or someone. All of us. Because by nature, we worship. We are born with inclination to worship. If we do not know who to worship, we find something what to worship. Why do we worship? I already explained that, right? How do we worship? There's a lot of distinct. Sometimes you can be part of the same congregation and have a different idea of the how. When do we worship? We already just talked about that too. And where do we worship? Depends. Whatever you are, it's a place for you to worship. Presence. Okay, now I'm going to put this. Who are we supposed to be worshiping? God? You'll be amazed that a lot of people have a totally different idea what God means. There are people that have a God, small g, O-D, and there are people who has the big G-O-D. And as you know, notice that I try in a PowerPoint always to put the God in a different color and always capitalize. You know why? Because my God is big. Every time I see my God, I can only see Him big.
Amen.
I never write God anymore in small letters because I want my eyes always to see where He is and when we talk about Him. How do we know how to worship? How do we know? Of course, the Word of God, and there is no... what is a biblical worship? Worship is the act of wonderment or adoration, obedience, and reverence. You'll be amazed at how many people do not apply these principles to worship? It is important for you to, when we have this sense of wonder about God, and then also submission to obedience and reverence to our Creator. Worship Him and no other. When you look into the Ten Commandments, what it says, the first commandment? What does the first commandment say? There is one God, right? And then what comes the second commandment? Basically telling you, don't try to make another one. So the first one says you have one God. The second one says don't try to make another one because it's not going to work. But do people try to make their own gods? In Isaiah, one part, you can find this later on with your search. And Isaiah talks about something that I found amazing the first time I read in my life, when it says, don't you see, fool? You go to the forest, you cut a little piece of wood, part of it, you create an idol for you. And then the rest, you cook your food with it. Don't you realize that this piece of wood, that you can spank that wood, you can do whatever, it will never talk to you. You know, only takes a fool to create a foolish idol and realize that that is nothing. It takes nothing to build nothing. Common forms of expression. There are those that we congregate, and there are those that are private. You know, sometimes we can worship by ourselves. We go into a room and close the door, and we have a personal communion with God. But also there is, like we are here, in a corporate setting, when as a congregation, we share the blessings with each other. Secular worship, we already discussed. There are a lot of people that worship. I know the spelling is different, okay? It's a C-O, I believe it's C-O-W-E-L-L, cow, right? There's a lot of people that worship that cow. I know it spells different, I know. But there are people that do worship the real cow. Have you met anybody that worshiped cows before? At least that cow, Simon cow. Oh, in India, in some other place. I have been brought up in an environment when they have a lot of little images, and I was taught to bow down and to pray to those images. And when we ask a priest, how come the Bible says that we should not? He says, oh, no, 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 you're not worshiping this image. This image is here just to remind you who the person is. Now, sometimes we Seventh-day Adventists, or we call ourselves Christians, we criticize the Roman Catholics and other people for bowing down before those images. And how silly of us. We do have our own idols too. All of us. So be careful before you start pointing fingers. You know, I told my children since they were little, when you point a finger like this, remember three are pointing towards you. And three witnesses is more than one. And then when you do this, it says, oh, and there is a Creator who is watching this whole thing. So be careful when you point, that your own hand is telling you you are three times as guilty as the one you appoint. So don't be careful with that, okay? Also, the true meaning of biblical worship is a lifestyle of faithful devotion, reverence, and submission. And I notice that sometimes people have no trouble to be submissive to a concept that they themselves create. They create an image of God, and they have no problem. And yet, when we share with them submission to the real God, they question. They start to say, oh, I'm not saved by keeping the law. And that is the problem. Worship, true worship of our God, is both an attitude and act. The Bible gives us some very clear guidance on how to approach God in worship. You find throughout the Bible many descriptions of worship. In Genesis 3, anybody here remember what happened in Genesis 3? And I said on purpose, Genesis 3, a tree. Genesis 3, there's a tree. That is the first time that a pagan worship was introduced to humans. That's the beginning. Satan came and gave to Adam and Eve a different suggestion about how to worship. Yes. And unfortunately, that's how idolatry started and has been among us since then. Satan was kicked out of heaven because of idolatry. Did you know that? That was what he did. He introduced a false worship. I know that some of you may say, what in the world, Pastor? I'm gonna say this. I was thinking about there is a worship and there is a worship. And I believe Satan is starting to implement in heaven a worship instead of a worship. As he decided to create a battle. Every single time that we choose to worship anything else besides God, we are on the mission with a worship instead of worship. Rebellion brings war. Submission brings relationship. The acts of framework, we shared this last week. So I'd like to, because it's related to the topic that we are talking today, so I would like to repeat, put in the screen again. Again, acts is adoration, praising God for who He is, confession, which is confession. There's two aspects of confession. There's a confession when I try to repair my relationship with God. And we talk about this in the lesson, right? It's when I try to repair the damage that I have caused because I made bad choice. And then also there's a confession when I says, I confess that the Lord is my God. So there's two aspects of confession. There is one for reparation, and there was one for establishment of relationship. Okay? Thankfulness, gratitude. Remember the redeeming attitude, gratitude, expressing gratitude for all our blessings. Sometimes we are very selective what we decide to be thankful for. Sometimes we are thankful for the great things. For example, if I walk in the street and I find an envelope and I open the envelope, there's $1,000 inside the envelope. And I say, praise the Lord. I don't even think about where the poor person who dropped this. Sometimes we are very selective of what we are thankful for without even analyzing, is this really a blessing what I'm doing? And so please, make sure that you know how to express your gratitude, but your gratitude never should be at the expense of somebody else, ever. And supplication, which also to bring before God, are very specific, very detailed requests. And sometimes supplication is not only for us to present our request, but a supplication is also a moment for us to just speak to God about our needs. What is biblical worship? Here are seven acts of biblical worship. So I put this like a letter, okay? First one, I say wonderment, obedience, reverence, and we're going up, service, holiness, inspiration, and partaking or participation. What do you see there? The steps to worship. How to reach our Heavenly Father. That is the steps of worship. And is in English, it works. Of course, in other languages, worship does not have seven letters, but in English, it does. So when I saw there was seven, so I decided to make a few steps how to reach out in our act of worship. Again, wonderment, obedience, reverence, service, holiness, inspiration, and partaking, which is participation. Now, worship Him and Him alone. Remember this, the story about this lady, that she was there on the noontime because she was not planning to see anybody, didn't want anybody to see her either, because she had a very, very messed up life. She made a very bad choice in her life, and that every time that we try to steal somebody else's husband, no wonder that nobody wants to see her around. And so she was there, and Jesus, very on time, He decided to come. Time to worship, right? He came there to teach her a lesson about worship. She asked Him, once that they talk and everything else, she asked, you know, our parents, our ancestors told us that we should go here to Samaria to worship. But you Jewish people tell us that we must go to Jerusalem. Where do we, which church do we go to? Do we go here near my home, or do I go all travel all the way south to go to that church there? And some people do a lot of traveling on the Sabbath just because they go to one church. Sometimes they go to other church. And she was asking, where do I should go to church? But the hour is coming, Jesus said, and now is. When the true worship, what kind of worshipers? The true worshipers will worship the Father in His spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Is God looking for you? Is the Lord seeking you to truly worship Him? John chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus says this too. In His time, the people that was giving Jesus the most difficult time were people from His own church. We don't hear in the gospel that somebody came all the way from Syria to give a hard time to Jesus. We don't hear on the gospel that somebody came from Babylon to give Jesus a hard time. The only ones that says the Bible that it came down to give Jesus a hard time was Satan himself and his demons. And they came, the high priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they all came after Jesus. Because Jesus was trying to guide the people towards the true type of worship. And this is what it says in Mark 7:7. Please, Mark 7:7. And in vain they worship me. Do you know in English what the word vain means? Anybody here does not know what vain means? Oh yeah, one little girl said, I don't. Don't worry, you are too young still to know those things. And I hope that you, once you learn what vain means, you stay away from it. The word vanity, do you know they even have a magazine, Vanity Magazine, Vanity Fair, I don't know what the name of it is. People sometimes are desperate to be in the cover of that magazine, Vanity. What is vain? Vain, basically, it means self-worship. It's vanity, self-worship. So when Jesus Christ says, in vain they worship me, meaning they are actually not worshiping me at all. They are worshiping themselves. Because look what the rest of the text says. Because they teach the doctrines of them. They are not teaching what God teaches. They are creating their own rules. Do you know how many people go to church on Sunday? Do you know how many people do not go to any church on Sunday either? Do you know how many people go to church on Friday? Do you know anyone who doesn't go to church at all? Do you always go to church? Yes? That's okay. She wants to participate. That's okay. A little girl says, I know. Sometimes we don't realize there is a lot of people that goes to church and still worships in vain because they come to church for the wrong reasons. Have you seen people, and this is going to be necessary, but please don't take it wrong. Sometimes people come to church not to fix what is wrong in their lives, but to try to fix what is wrong in everybody else's life. When you try to say that everything is wrong with everybody else, nothing's wrong with you, that is idolatry. When you believe that you are the model for everybody else, there is only one who is model for all of us. Nobody else. Our Creator is the only one that we have to look up to every single time, because He is the one who reflects our Heavenly Father. He is the Creator. John chapter 1 says, the Word, He is the Word. In Genesis 1, the Word spoke and brought everything to life. And Jesus, when He spoke, says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am life. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Basically, this verse is saying, religion is not enough for you to be saved. Yes. Don't assume that just because you belong to a church, that guarantees you eternal life. Please, remember, Satan came from heaven. And that doesn't make him a very heavenly individual. Just because somebody tells you, I am a believer, I am a Christian, please be careful, because the only one who should be a model for us how to be is our Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody else. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter the kingdom. Only those who does the will. Now, do you know the difference between the will of man and the will of God? And I'm saying this not because you are Seventh-day Adventist, but do you really know the difference between what is the will of God and what is the will of man? I hope you do. If you don't, get the book. The book will tell you precisely. Then, verse 22. And by the way, this is the Sermon on the Mountain, the most powerful sermon in the Holy Scripture. On Judgment Day, what day? Judgment Day. I want everybody to say it loud because I don't want anybody falling asleep now, okay? In what day?
Judgment Day.
Okay, and when is that? Is right when the Lord comes. On Judgment Day, many will say to me, but Lord, Lord, I prophesy in your name. Okay, I'm going to be saying something else here that maybe makes somebody uncomfortable. Sometimes people think that it's okay for us to turn on a television and watch a sermon from this mega church. 30,000 people there, and sometimes we look 60, a thousand, or maybe whatever it is. Be careful, because everything that you ears listen, it goes to your mind. And everything goes to your mind may undermine what is supposed to be in your mind. Please be careful what you expose yourself to, because whatever you eat is what you become. Whatever you put in your mind will dictate your behavior, your choices. And you may choose to choose what you should never have chosen, and that would take you away from the most precious thing in your life, which is your personal relationship with God. I know that nobody here, again, this is going to get me in trouble, but I'm going to say this again. No one here that is married like to your spouse to be looking to somebody else, right? You may do like this and there goes a rib. You want the person to have eyes for you only, right? Isn't that what a relationship is all about? Isn't it different with God? Isn't it anything in relation to your own church family? I can imagine the eight people inside of the ark. One day said, Dad, Mr. Noah, I like to step outside to see my other options. The Bible says there is only one Lord, there is only one church, there is only one faith. Stop searching for something else when you already found the truth. When the Lord already showed you the truth, create roots on the truth. Worship the true God. Used through worship. It says, on judgment day, we'll say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name. I don't know. I have seen people claiming that I will cast out demons. And they do all those things. And television shows this. And thousands and thousands of people are following those stuff. Thus, the devil has power to cast out demons? Nope. Jesus said, how do you think when they call Jesus the head of the demons? He says, how can that be? If I am against my own house, how can it stand? No, demons will not cast out demons. Just the opposite. They will bring some more extra in. That's a lie. Is when people pretend to be something that they are not. And that's what it says here. We prophesied. They don't prophesy. They just guess. Just like when you go to somebody that reads, they say, I can read your future in your hand. It says, hey, fool, show me your hand. They don't say that, right? They don't say, hey, fool, show me your hand. And also show me your wallet. If you still have it, because I think I already grabbed it. All those foolishness, because sometimes people want to be deceived and perform many miracles in your name. When it says this, remember when Moses came before Pharaoh and he has a rod? Remember when Moses put the rod down, it became a serpent and everything else? And so the magicians, the devil team, decide to do the same thing. And there were. They create a trick and made an illusion that everybody saw that they were doing the same thing. But then Moses ate the other ones. And then it says, the Pharaoh said, okay, now I want you to do that one too. Oh, we can. Our deception, our deceptive skills has limit because we are humans. Sometimes people like to be deceived. Be careful with the snake. The snake has been always a part of the show. But I will reply to them, I never knew you. Imagine somebody says, oh, I belong to his church. And the pastor says, I have never seen you before. Imagine how terrible that would be. Or somebody comes to you and says, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Vista. I'm Seventh-day Adventist from the Vista Church. Oh, I am a member there too. And you look at the person and says, what? I have never seen you before. I have no idea who you are. Oh, yes. I have received, I received a phone call. This week I received a phone call. Somebody left a message saying, hey, call me back. I'm a member of your church. No, that person is not a member of this church. And the person spoke in Spanish. And left a message for me to call back. And I call back just to find out that somebody says, are you the church? I said, no, you got the wrong church. And by the way, Can you help me? And most of the time it's just to, and by the way, not only Hispanics, but I got a lot of messages. Sometimes people say, I want to go to your church today. Can you help me? And those things do happen. People sometimes have a different purpose to come to church, not necessarily to worship. But I will reply, I never knew you. And to know means to have a relationship with. Get away from me. We have no relationship. There's no way to. Remember when Jesus Christ said to Lucifer, get away from me? In heaven. When he already have convinced one third of the angels, he says, get out. You don't belong here. Darkness does not belong where there is light. Hate does not belong where there is love. Destruction does not belong when in the presence of the Creator. You who break God's laws, you claim to be religious, and yet you don't want to worship the Heavenly Father. Have you ever seen this choir before? Some of you have. You probably forgot. This is a general conference, the last general conference. So I decided to take this picture to bring this text before you. Be joyful and sing as you come in worship to the Lord. We are fewer today because there are quite a few members that are, I don't know if they are in a graduation ceremony or something. But when we sing together, some of us may have a different voice abilities than others. You know, we have different skills. But when we sing, we are giving each other the gift of our presence, the gift of our voice. That is collective worship. It makes a difference. Sometimes we come to the church and we think, oh, I'll be there in church. But you don't realize that your presence here is a gift for each other. Look around you. Look at just another one beside you and just say, thank you for being here. Go ahead. This person who chose to be here gave you a gift of worship. Honor the Lord for the glory of His name. Worship the Lord into the splendor of His holiness. Amen. The Bible says in Leviticus 19 that we must be holy as our Lord is holy. Amen. The word holy means the only way we can be holy if we belong to Him. Everything that God claims ownership becomes holy. There's no other way. I cannot make this chair holy. I cannot make this fellow here holy. I cannot make anything holy. No matter how many times I do this, it doesn't become holy. The only way for me to be holy is when the Lord claims me to be His child. And for the Lord to claim me to be His child, the only power that I have is a power that I receive from Him, the power of choice. When I surrender is when I have the most. When I'm afraid to surrender is then when I have the least. The more I give, the more I have. Come, let us worship Him and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord who made us. Do you wonder sometimes, why is this big issue about the Sabbath all the time? Right? People say, what is the big deal about the Sabbath? It doesn't matter what day I go to church, as long as I go to church. Oh, you have no idea how much effort Satan has made to remove Abba out of the picture. Even from the lips of some Seventh-day Adventists, instead of referring to the Sabbath as the Sabbath, they call it Saturday. Let's give it to a pagan god instead of to give to Abba. We should never, it doesn't matter who we talk to, we should never compromise our beliefs because brothers and sisters, we are in a journey to the eternal kingdom. We don't belong here. We should not get so used to talk like we stay here forever. We should start talking like a citizen of heaven. So don't allow Satan to any form or shape take Abba out of your eyes. Because I found many verses throughout the whole scripture, many, many of them, hundreds of them are there if you search carefully. The whole purpose for us to worship God because God is Abba. He is the creator. Let me share some more. This is Psalm 95, verse 6. Let me share more. You alone are the Lord. Who? You alone. Nobody else is the Lord. You made the skies and the heavens and all the stars. By the way, you're a star before God too, okay? Not the kind of star that they put in Hollywood there in the street, but a real star. You made the earth and the seas and everything in them. You preserve them all. Not only you create them, but you sustain them. And the angels of heaven worship you. Amen. Me too. Yes, I'm complimenting the text. It says, and the angels of the heaven worship you. Me too. Nehemiah 9 verse 6. Yes. So then, my friends, brothers and sisters, because of God's great mercy to us, I like to appeal it to you. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service and pleasing to Him. This is the true worship that you should offer. The Bible described that's the sometimes people try to earn extra stripe with God. Talking about stripes here, the military can relate to that. Sometimes we ask, what's to have an extra stripe by doing things our own way. And sometimes by trying so hard, we end up messing things up. With God, God wants you to surrender yourself to Him and let Him empower you to be like Him. Romans 12, verse 1. Our Lord and God. I like this, the way this starts. Our Lord and God. You are worthy. And that's what the first part of worship means. The W-O-R stands for worthy. To receive glory, honor, and power. For you create all things. That's the reason why. That's the motive why you deserve to have glory, honor, and power. Because you are the creator. You're Abba. And by your own will, they were given existence and life. Revelation 4, verse 11. You create all things. Therefore, you are the only one can be worshipped. And if you look in Revelation, the three angels' message, one emphasis is this: let's praise and show who our Creator is. That is the message of the redeeming church. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. He rescues the oppressed from the power of evil people and for evil at all. Jeremiah 20, verse 13. Psalm 63, verse 3 says, your love means more than life to me, and I praise you. Can you relate to that? Do you know what John says? Says, 1 John, he says, if we do say that we love, but we do not go know God, because it's a lie. And if we love, we must know God, because God is love. Amen. But sometimes when we talk about the word love, we talk about a different kind of idolatry. It's just about something that we want to get instead of giving. And let us not neglect are meeting together. As some people do. And sometimes they have very fancy excuses not to come to church. But encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. What time is it, brothers and sisters?
Time to worship.
This service may end in a few more minutes after we sing, after we pray. But worship does not stop us now. What time is the time for worship?
All the time.
As long as I can breathe, my every single breath of mine should be to praise the God who has created me and the God that has redeemed me. The Lord has been prepared a kingdom for me. Amen. I told a sister, she said, I'm pastor, pray that I'm buying a house and everything else. Some of you know what I'm talking about, okay? I'm not going to give details too much, but somebody says, pastor, pray that we are buying a house. And then finally she said that they final decision. And then I said, sister, did you buy a palace? How many of you here live in a palace? I do. I live in a palace. Do you know why I live in a palace? Because the King of Kings is the Lord of my house.
Amen.
Now I'd like to ask the question again. How many of you here live in a palace?
Amen.
Do you worship in that palace?
Yes.
To keep the King of Kings there.
Amen.
Where I came from Brazil, we had a custom, and I hope that all of you should have this custom. Not because you come from Brazil now, okay? Every single 6 days before the sunset, we always have worship. Welcoming the Sabbath. But it's not really the Sabbath we are welcoming. It's Abba.
Amen.
We want to throw ourselves into his arms. That is an act of worship.
Yes.
And then at sunset, we thank God for the blessings of the Sabbath. We always did. And we tell people, I wish you happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath. Have a blessed Sabbath. Brothers and sisters, the Sabbath is not the only thing that makes us brothers and sisters. What makes us brothers and sisters is how we worship. Who we worship, sometimes where we worship, why we worship. May God bless you and remove all the what's from your worship and bring only the who. This is time for worship. Please live a life that reflects your relationship with your Abba. God bless.
Amen.